Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. How about this? IU football bowl eligible after the big win Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska. IU football at the end of October as we get ready in a few days to start the month of November. And, of course, tomorrow night you could say officially have IU basketball games to kind of take to the forefront. We're still talking about it. We're going to talk a lot about IU football today. We're going to talk a lot about it this week. And I would have to say that there are a lot of people that maybe aren't always wild about IU football in the month of November, that given this team's success and given the fact they're bowl eligible and given the fact this team seems to get better and just find a way in some tough situations to be successful, there's a lot more people paying attention to this football team, deservedly so, at this time of year. Huge win for Coach Allen's team. Signature win, I think you could call it that, of his career, a big road win as well. Nebraska isn't the Nebraska team of old. There's no question about that, or the program of old that they used to be. But they're still talented. They still have an unbelievable facility with lots of fans packed in. I think I saw it was 90,000 fans at the game on Saturday. That creates just an amazing environment. And for Indiana to go in there and win a big game and become bowl eligible while it's still in the month of October is just big stuff for the program. So obviously we've got IU postseason football coming up, but the exciting thing is if Indiana can continue to win and add one, which is I think very likely expected, if not two, possibly three in a dream situation, victories to its win total from where they're at now, there's no telling what type of bowl they could find themselves in. So this is a little interesting note I saw. Indiana has won six games in October for the first time since 1993. I guess the better way to say that is they've reached six wins. They've scored their sixth victory of the season in the month of October for the first time since 1993. And, of course, bowl eligible for the first time with Tom Allen as the head coach. And three straight Big Ten victories, which is, I think, a record for this program, maybe going back to 1994, and two straight Big Ten road victories. And those are little things, but little things add up to make a season special. And I really believe, I think I've said for a while that Indiana could get to seven victories this year, but I really believe if they continue to play as they are, and this is with Michael Penix out, I really believe that there's a great possibility of two more victories in this season. In fact, I don't want to say be disappointed if they didn't reach two more victories, but I kind of expect them, to be honest with you, unless the wheels fall off or unless there's some major injuries or unless something goes backwards in a big way. Indiana football, I think, can get to eight victories, and who knows, if they get hot, pull an upset, nine would be obviously the best that this team could do, but amazing stuff and a lot of fun. Again, it's cool to be talking IU football as we enter the month of November and not be 100% basketball. Love basketball. Glad it's here. Can't wait to see the Hoosiers tomorrow night take on Gannon University, and can't wait to talk about basketball each and every day on this program, basically as we do year-round. But nice little touch to have some more IU football to think about, and this Indiana team has made it awful fun to follow their success here at this point of the season. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, it's Monday, so we're going to start here in a few moments with our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza. Then later in the segment, we have our Zaxby's headlines today. We're going to talk about IU football's win. Dawson Garcia had a big official visit to Bloomington over the weekend. We'll chat about that. We'll talk some high school football as well. And I want to give a shout-out. We didn't have any successful volleyball teams this weekend, but another great year of high school volleyball in our area, so we'll talk about that as well coming up a little bit later in this segment. Then later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he joins us as always. And again, normally at this time of year, Zach and I, yeah, we may hit on the football game, what the result was, what's going on, who they play next, but we're going to have a good conversation today, as you can imagine, about IU football and the win, what it means for the program. I'm going to talk about all facets of IU football with Zach today, so stay with us for that. We'll also talk some basketball as Indiana gets ready to host Gannon University on Tuesday night. Then later in the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, he joins us. Of course, Chad's school, the Charlestown Pirates football team, knocked off Brownstown on Friday. Brownstown, the Mid-Southern Conference champion. They were undefeated in the regular season and a big, big win for Jason Hawkins and his Pirates football team on Friday. So with Chad, we'll talk about the sectionals. We'll talk about some other postseason football items. We'll get into some basketball stuff if we have time as well. But we're going to start talking about the Charlestown Pirates. They were the big award winner, I think, over the weekend as far as their success by knocking off Brownstown. Great environment in Charlestown for that game. Some great performances, as you can imagine, as well. And that definitely highlighted the opening night of high school postseason football here in the area. Also, today in this first segment, we're going to have, I told you, the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. That announcement comes up in just moments. And remember, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Honey Baked Ham brings you the show lineup each day. Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. Each week it's presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Hometown pizza at its best. Their pizza is thin crust. It's made to order. It's sliced in squares. Sir Dano's is squarely the best. And they are kind enough to join us each week to present a Athlete of the Week award here on the Big X Sports Radio. Number of good performances this week. Providence's Colin Flake, he had 87 yards on 11 carries to lead the Pioneers. They defeated Clarksville in a first-round victory. Silver Creek had a tough opponent in East Central. They lost on Friday night, but Ben Landers, 121 rushing yards and a touchdown. Heath Knight, 86 yards and a touchdown for Silver Creek. Rock Creek, in their second year of postseason eligibility, was defeated on Friday night, but Jonathan Browning was 10 of 21 passing. He threw for 169 yards and a touchdown. He also had 14 rushes that totaled 25 yards. And Luis Corrales, he had 6 passes for 127 yards, including a 55-yard pass that he caught from Jonathan Browning as well. So those are some of the top performers that I wanted to mention, but our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week this week to open up postseason football is Charlestown's Marion Lukes. He had a big performance, of course, he's now Charlestown's all-time leading rusher and was the standout for the Pirates offense on Friday. He had 170 total yards and the lone touchdown of the game, but he did have 25 carries in that contest. Ups his career totals, get ready for this, 5,404 rushing yards and 64 touchdowns in his career so far at Charlestown. And they live to see another week as the Pirates will take on Lawrenceburg this coming Friday night. I mentioned it was only one touchdown. He did some other big things in the game, but let's talk about that for just a moment. Lukes, on the first play of the game, scores a 45, 46, 47, something like that, yard touchdown as he ran it in and basically went up the field and was not touched at all by the Brownstown defense. The extra point kicked good. Three or four plays later, Brownstown runs it in from 15 yards out to score. The extra point, no good. That makes the score 7-6. And at that point, we were a minute and 10 seconds into the game. So you think, oh, wow, there's going to be a lot of scoring. I'm thinking Marion Lukes is loose. He's ready to go. This is going to be a wild night. Who knows what the scoreboard may be like. These teams know each other. These teams have prepared for each other. No team would go on to score after that. That ended up 7-6, the final score of the game. Some crazy stuff down the stretch to allow Charlestown to get the victory. But big stuff for Marion Lukes to punch in that early touchdown, take a little pressure off of his team. I'm sure it didn't seem that way in the middle of the game or near the end of the game. But that big early touchdown would end up being enough for two good football teams battling. It would end up being the difference in the game, a 7-6 score. So Marion Lukes in many ways on Friday night, the standout for Charlestown, who's been very solid across the board. They've got some good seniors that step up, a good defensive players that make Lukes' pathway to the end zone a little bit easier. But they are a hot team. They've now won 8 games in a row, and again, they'll take on a solid Lawrenceburg team coming up Friday night in round 2 of sectional football. Congratulations to Marion Lukes. This week's Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor. Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, hometown pizza at its best. Their pizza is thin crust, it's made to order, and sliced in squares. Sordano is squarely the best. And, of course, with the winning of that award, Marion Lukes gets a free 14-inch pizza from the Sordano's in Sellersburg, and he'll be recognized throughout the week. You'll hear a promotional announcement that will highlight his accomplishments, not just for last week, but for his career at Charlestown thus far running on our station. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. I've been trying to remind you of this a couple times each day. Love to get your comments or questions about things we're talking about. If you submit it to us, it may very likely get read on the air or used as a question for one of our guests. There's a couple ways you can submit your questions or your comments. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills and tweet me your question or comment, or on Facebook. We have a fan page for the Hoosier Report. You can send us a message there, and we'll get it on the air to our guest and make sure that your interest is being represented here on the program. And we greatly appreciate everyone that listens, whether it be live on the radio or as a podcast as well. Let's get in quickly to our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. IU football, some big stuff going on here. The team with 3 straight victories, 2 straight road victories, 6 wins now to become bowl eligible. You look at the IU football schedule and you wonder, where could this team max out? What could be left for this team? Well, we know they've got games against Northwestern. That's Saturday night at home, and that really is a very winnable game for this Indiana team that could put them to 7 victories. And I've seen Indiana putting out some special ticket packages for the remaining home games. Of course, Saturday, Northwestern, coming up on November 23rd, Michigan at home. So you can check those out. Very reasonably priced. We'll get you good seats to both of those games. But Indiana should have a fantastic crowd coming up on Friday for the game against Northwestern, or on Saturday, excuse me, for the game against Northwestern. Again, the program at this point, you're either got diehards hanging on and, you know, wanting to see this team finish out the year, or you've got your diehards plus add-ons each week that want to get involved in a very successful season. And that's what's happening with this Indiana team. I think a Saturday night game in Bloomington could be special as far as crowd and environment and helping this team get to a 7th win. Then after the Northwestern game, Indiana goes to Penn State on November 16th. And obviously, at Penn State, taking on Penn State, home or away, Indiana's not going to be the favorite in that game. But can they be competitive? Could that be become the new signature victory for Indiana's team? Maybe we're thinking big here, but as Indiana gains momentum, you've got to believe that they can play with Penn State. They might not be able ultimately to win the game, but just playing close and making it a game on the road would be big for this team. Then they come back at home, and if Indiana's going to upset a major upset this season, I think it could be Michigan. Now, again, that might be thinking big or being very hopeful, but Michigan has been a team that's up and down. They seem to have settled in as of late, though, but Michigan coming to Bloomington, could Indiana make a huge statement and a huge victory that would send shockwaves through the Big Ten and be so positive for this IU football program and put the cap, the crown on what's already been a good season. Can they do that in their final home game of the year, November 23rd? Then, of course, at Purdue, again, a very winnable game. It is a rivalry game. It is on the road, so you have to throw what you think out the window. But unless Indiana falls apart, and again, at Penn State and then Michigan at home back-to-back, weeks, that's tough. I mean, there could be injuries. There could be some things that makes this team falter a bit. But you've got to believe Indiana legitimately has chances to win Saturday night. I would be disappointed if they didn't win at home against Northwestern on Saturday night and continue this pandemonium, this excitement about the program. But you've got to believe Northwestern at home could be a win. You've got to believe at Purdue could be a win. That would be two more victories for Indiana and put them at 8-2 on the season. I said 7 earlier this year, a few weeks down the line. 8 would be huge. 9, of course, would have to include an upset over someone that they are not expected to beat. But big stuff for this Indiana football program. Dawson Garcia, switching to basketball. He was on campus over the weekend. Lots of pictures. People saw him out eating in Bloomington with Archie Miller and the IU coaching staff. Fans going up to him, asking him for photos. Saw him on campus, picture the official pictures that IU basketball tweets out of him in front of the big Indiana emblem. So you've got to believe that the visit went well. A lot of people think Indiana and Marquette will ultimately be who he chooses from. A lot of people also think that his decision, his announcement, could be coming up soon. Will it be this week? Will it be within the next couple of weeks? A lot of people think that that is very possible as well. So big stuff coming, perhaps, for IU basketball if they can find a way to land big man Dawson Garcia of Minnesota after this official visit. High school football Friday night. Don't forget, none of the 5A teams played, so that means this week we get entertained even more with New Albany at Jeffersonville in a opening 5A sectional matchup. Also, Bedford North Lawrence at Floyd Central. The Highlanders 7-2. They're the favorite in that sectional. And then, of course, Charlestown, 8 straight victories, 8-2 on the year. After the big win, knocking off previously undefeated Brownstown, what's the reward for that? Jason Hawkins' team has to go to Lawrenceburg now for a road game in the second round of sectional action. Providence, a winner over Clarksville. The Pioneers should be able to get to a sectional championship. They play at Eastern Pekin, who is 1-9. Eastern Pekin got this, or how about this, got their first win in sectional play over the weekend. That's amazing. They were 0-4 on the season, have had some tough times, but able to get a victory over Union County Friday night, which puts Providence and Eastern Pekin against each other on Friday night. That's a look at football this weekend. All the local volleyball teams lost. Providence in 4A, Silver Creek made it to the championship, as did Providence in 3A, Providence obviously 4A. Henryville defeated in the semifinal round by Barrieve. Rock Creek, they got beat in the semifinal round by Springs Valley. But another great year for local volleyball. Congratulations to all of the local teams and players. A lot of these players, some of the top, are going to go on to play a college volleyball at Division I and very good levels. So another good year of a strong showing by Southern Indiana volleyball. We'll head to a commercial break. Those are your Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order, with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. Back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. You're listening to a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
CC Power Sports brings you the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison each weekday, and Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us as always to kickstart the week. And what a way to kickstart it. IU football with a road win, a Big Ten win, and they are now bowl eligible, and it's still October. Amazing stuff for Coach Allen and this IU football program. And, of course, from a basketball perspective, it's getting ready to get really exciting because Indiana opens up, with an exhibition game, you could call it, tomorrow night, hosting Gannon University, a Division II team at home. So lots to talk about today, especially from an IU perspective. So it's always fun to have Zach with us on the program to begin the week. Zach, we've got to start with IU football. This team goes on the road Saturday. It was a game that was questionable at best, and they win 38-31 in Lincoln. They now have a record of 6-2. They have won, is it three straight Big Ten games now, and this Indiana team bowl eligible. The question now is, can they win a couple more games and make this a more than memorable season for IU football? And while they're doing so, can they increase what type of bowl game they might get the opportunity to attend? But no way around it. Huge weekend and a big, big deal for Tom Allen and IU football.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the fascinating part now is to see how Indiana turns the page. I think, you know, you think back to that 2007 season when Indiana, I think started 5-2, then lost a couple games, then got to 6 wins, then maybe got a little fat and happy on 6 and didn't get to 7, which at the time, actually, there was at least some belief that Indiana needed to get to 7 to make a bowl, just because there were, you know, fewer bowls then, and Indiana only had 2 Big Ten wins. You know, in the way that this so often works, the better you are, the more people are going to wonder basically how much better you can get. You know, bad teams tend to lose in the same way, so nobody ever kind of wonders what's next for a 4-8 team. But you get to 6-2, and yeah, all of a sudden, suddenly the questions kind of become, okay, how quickly can you turn the page on all of this? And is this a team that could get to 7? I mean, they're right now a 2-score favorite next weekend at home, or this weekend at home to Northwestern. Is it a team that could think about 8? Is it even a team that, with a little bit of upset success, could think about 9? And so I think maybe the next challenge for Indiana is, how do you handle enough of this success that you're able, like I said, to just turn the page very, very quickly to a winnable game against Northwestern this weekend?
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, joining us on this Monday program. Starting off with IU football, was this the biggest win for Tom Allen and the biggest win for IU football in a number of seasons? Was this, we've talked about a signature win needed by this program. In your opinion, was Saturday on the road at Nebraska, even though it's not Nebraska of old and it's a Nebraska team that has its own set of struggles right now, was this a signature win that this football team has needed that we've all been talking about?
I think it was, you know, I mean, Tom Allen used his term, breakthrough. I think it was a breakthrough. And I understand people who say, well, you know, Nebraska, as you said, is not maybe what Nebraska once was, and you know, it going to Lincoln and winning there isn't like what it would have been back in the 70s, the last time Indiana played in Lincoln. But I've said this to you, I've said this to other people, this program gets better if it starts beating the teams it should beat, you know, just winning the games it's favored in every single time, every year, and then finding a way to turn a couple of the swing games in its favor, just one or two of the games that maybe, you know, I mean, I think Indiana was an underdog in this game, but it bounced back and forth all week, kind of going between, you know, Indiana was favored by 2, then Nebraska 1.5, then Indiana by 1, then Nebraska by 2. You know, this is very much one of those 50-50 kind of games, and from Indiana's perspective, you know, find a way to start winning these games and find a way to start, you know, going on the road to a difficult environment. I would use the Michigan State game, which Indiana obviously narrowly lost, but I think that's another good example this season of find a way to win one or two of those games every year, and then you're going to find yourself 6-6, 7-5, 8-4 every season, you know, and then all of a sudden, after 3 or 4 seasons of that, you get to talk about yourself differently. You get to recruit differently. You get to staff and hire assistants a little bit differently. And then you get to adjust your expectations again. I think that this was, it's not a signature win in the sense of, you know, beating a ranked team. It's certainly not a signature win in the way that I think IU fans imagined it, simply because, you know, I think IU fans will always sort of see that the Big Four, maybe it's kind of becoming a Big Three again in the Big Ten East of Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State. I think that's probably just always what IU fans are going to imagine as a signature win, because those are the teams Indiana's got to face every year. And Indiana's still got a shot to beat a Penn State or certainly a Michigan at home on senior day. But I think that in terms of signature wins not being something you present to the selection committee, because Indiana's not going to be in the playoff conversation this year. We all can agree on that. You know, this isn't a body of work thing. You don't have to go to a bowl and say, look at all of our great wins. This isn't like, you know, this isn't like the NCAA tournament in basketball. A signature win to me for Indiana is one that allows you the opportunity to start changing the conversation around your program. And I think going to Nebraska, beating Nebraska at Nebraska, whatever the circumstances, and positioning yourself such that now you can, you know, potentially turn the page to 7 wins, 8 wins, maybe not just a bowl, but, you know, work your way up the Big Ten's bowl structure a little bit. You know, that allows you the chance to take another step forward. And so you've got to take the first one, and that's beating Maryland on the road. Then you've got to take the second one, that's beating Nebraska on the road. Then you've got to take the third one, that's capitalizing on this momentum and turning this into an unusually successful season. And then after that, we all ask, okay, well, you're going to return a lot of guys that are freshmen, sophomores, juniors next year when you've got a schedule that looks pretty comfortable right now on paper. Can you build on that even more? And again, this is just kind of what happens when you try to get better, is the goalposts just keep sort of slowly inching further and further out ahead of you. But I think Indiana winning this weekend gives the Hoosiers that chance, gives the Hoosiers that opportunity. And for that reason, in my mind, yes, it is a signature win.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Stars with me. He's always my guest Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. About this team and some of their performances recently, they seem to improve every week. They're not perfect by any means. Coach Allen was quick to mention that in the post-game celebration clip that I watched, congratulating the team, yelling, screaming, celebrating with the team, but telling them there's still a lot they can do to get better, but he didn't want to get into that right now at the celebration. That said, they get better every week, and this team finds a way without Michael Penix, whether it's a game-time decision and he doesn't play, or whether it's he has to come out in the middle of the game like last week or early in the game like last week. This team has found a way. They've been down. They've come back. They've been scored on early a couple times in some cases, and it doesn't look good right out of the gate. You know, that can steal your momentum, but they found ways to come back. Those are two things, getting better every week and just simply finding a way. Those are two invaluable traits that certain sports teams can develop or have that can serve them very, very well throughout the course of a season. And I'll tell you, as we are a number of games in now, six and two record, I think this Indiana team has both of those traits.
Yeah, I think there are a couple things that really jumped out to me. And you're about to hear the telltale sign that I'm heading to Tom Allen's press conference. This is my car starting and my garage door going up. Specifically about Saturday, but I think that speak to your point and maybe apply a little bit to this whole season. I think the first one is, weathering Nebraska's start, you always had to expect this weekend that Nebraska, coming off of a humbling defeat to Minnesota and a bye week on what is, I think it was a blackout game. I know they were wearing their alternate jerseys. Nebraska was going to come out hot. They were going to come out really sharp. I would be surprised if a number of the plays on those first couple drives weren't scripted. And you just had to weather that. You had to match Nebraska, not necessarily point for point, but I think as Indiana did, just get points in your first couple drives, stay within touching distance, let that sort of early juice that Nebraska is going to have wear out, and then settle in and go from there. And then I think the other thing, that for the second week in a row, we're talking about a defense where, okay, they gave up a lot of yards. You know, they struggled with Nebraska's ground game. They struggled to really corral Nebraska's quarterback run game in particular. You know, there's no doubt about that. But for the second week in a row, we're talking about a defense that significantly reduces the points total from the first half to the second half. You know, IU allows 21 points in the first half, only 10 in the second, after allowing 21 points to Maryland in the first half last weekend, and then only 7 in the second. And so I said this to somebody over the weekend, Indiana's probably never going to be a yards defense. Like, you're probably never going to have the athletes to play defense the way that the Alabamas and the Clemsons and so forth do. What you need to be is a defense that makes big change plays, like the fumbles that Indiana recovered in Nebraska, and a defense that really kind of stands up when it's most important to stand up. And I think you saw that really these last 2 weeks. And so when you talk about kind of intangibles, those are examples, but I think your point is very valid, that this is a team that just has a little bit of the resiliency, I guess, that maybe we've always kind of wondered, you know, why can't Indiana football seem to get a hold of that? Why can't Indiana football seem to corral some of that intangible, you know, kind of toughness and ability to overcome? Well, you know what? They're doing it now. And again, you come back to it's boring to say it over and over again, but they're doing it in the games where it matters most. They're doing it in the games. They're not doing it in a game that they wind up losing by 11 to Michigan. And there's nothing wrong with playing Michigan tough. But at the end of the day, I think there were so many times where you felt like Indiana would play those games close and play those games close, but then they'd always lose them. And they wouldn't show that same resolve and that same toughness and that same sort of intangible whatever when they went to Nebraska or when they went to Maryland or, you know, when they played Illinois or somebody, you know, Purdue. Well, now you're seeing Indiana. We're actually seeing Indiana replicate those performances in games where those kinds of traits won't just get them an admirable defeat, but will get them the quantity of wins to allow them to talk about being bowl eligible, you know, before Halloween. And if that's the kind of thing that you can program into this roster and you can program into this team going forward, it will obviously serve them well for the rest of this season. But you also feel like that's the sort of trait, the sort of quality that can be sustained heading into really the next few years.
Talking to Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our conversation obviously starting with IU football after the big win at Nebraska that puts the Hoosiers football team bowl eligible. A couple other things. Tom Allen, I want to talk about him for just a minute. He's an intriguing guy and obviously a coach that came into Bloomington with a plan. He's had lots of I don't want to call him gimmicks, but he's had some descriptive words, some themes. I guess those are fair things to use. The LEO, the breakthrough for this team, and I think at times when Indiana has faltered a bit or not had the season that they're shooting for or not become bowl eligible at the end of the year or by the end of the year, I think he's taken some grief at times for some of that stuff. But he is such an emotional coach, and he seems to be a coach that has just an unbelievable relationship with his players, and that obviously carries over in recruiting. He seems to be able to build some great relationships with players in the recruiting process as well that maybe Indiana shouldn't, you know, be in the picture for, or shouldn't ultimately be the choice, but they end up being because of the relationship with Coach Allen and some of the coaches. And in the final moments of the game, and of course I was just watching on television, but in the final moments of the game, to watch his expressions, his cheers, his outburst, and then to watch him run off the field and high-five Indiana IU Athletics employees and some of the fans that were sitting down low, and then to see the behind-the-scenes moment, the IU football and the media team, the athletics folks have done a tremendous job taking advantage of this big win and the bowl eligibility, and he's the perfect guy to do it with because he offers so many good sound clips that are so motivational. He really and truly is one of the more emotional coaches that I think I've ever seen, not just at Indiana or in college football or in college sports, but really one of the most emotional coaches that I can remember watching game in and game out, big game, not big game, big moment, not big moment, Indiana winning, Indiana behind, always positive, always has encouraging things to say. Of course, we're not there every day in practice. You see a lot of the early practices. Those clearly are different than practices right now in the heart of the season, but just a positive guy, a energy guy, maybe more so than I've ever seen in college sports. It's kind of, it's different.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. That stuff has kind of been a stick that, he's gotten beaten with a little bit in the last couple of years when Indiana's come up short, and, when you've maybe seen Indiana come up short in a lot of familiar ways, if that makes any sense. I've always kind of rolled my eyes at people that criticize coach sideline demeanor. You saw it with Tom Crean, you know, when Tom was a new coach, it was all, oh, look at all his energy, look at his fire, look at his passion. Then when, things were bad, it was he looks disorganized, he looks out of control, it's chaotic. You know, you look at somebody like Kirk Ferentz when Iowa's winning, it's, wow, Kirk Ferentz is so stoic and his team follows his lead and all that. And when they're losing, it's, you know, why can't Kirk Ferentz show more passion? I just think that coaches are what they are. And we probably read a little bit too much into the their demeanor, their emotions, their expressions, their catchphrases and things like that. The stuff that's really intended more for, you know, for, their players and their coaches than it is for their fans and that sort of thing. I do think, though, that there's probably some measure of validation today for Tom Allen. You know, I mean, I think we talked about this kind of going into Maryland, going into this stretch. You know, we talked about this group of four games, and Indiana's obviously now won the first three of them with Northwestern upcoming, where there was this opportunity, obviously, to turn the season toward a bowl, but also you felt like to kind of change a little bit of the narrative around Indiana. And so, like, the last couple of years for Tom Allen specifically, it's been, you know, people have said, oh, he's just an old high school coach, he wasn't ready for this. They've said, you know, he doesn't know how to coach a team to get over the hump, to get from five wins to bowl eligibility. Again, Indiana seems to be losing in all of the same ways, and it's redundant and frustrating. Well, all of a sudden, now the narrative can be painted as, if you want it to be anyway, Indiana's been to bowls in three of the last 5 years, something they haven't done since Bill Mallory was coach. If they beat Purdue this weekend, or not this, forgive me, not this weekend, but later this season, then they'll have won five of the last seven bucket games. If Indiana wins a bowl this year, it'll be the first bowl win since 1991. Unless I'm mistaken, Tom Allen's 16 wins over his first three seasons is now an Indiana record for a coach in his first 3 years. My point is, this always felt like an opportunity for everybody, including Tom Allen, who kind of said, listen, I know that the last couple of years have been frustrating, but you know, we had to take some necessary kind of, frankly, in some ways, forced steps back. Now we're going to take those steps forward again and stick with us, and, it's going to come good. And, it's, you know, I mean, I think back even as recently as that Michigan State game, Tom Allen coming in and just being sort of like stone-faced and resolute, saying, this team's not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I believe in these guys. I mean, he was just like, we are, I think his quote was, we are for real, period. And, you know, if this hadn't happened, then you'd look back at that and you'd say, well, you know, that was probably kind of a naive moment from Tom Allen. But it did happen. And so you're allowed to kind of, you know, Allen's allowed to look and say, see, I told you. Like, I knew then that this team was going to come good. It was just a matter of time. And so, again, there's some validation. I think there's also, you know, the ability to change the narrative a little bit. And I know that's a word that gets thrown around sometimes in sports and probably overused at times, but it does matter, and it's something that, especially if Indiana carries this momentum on, wins a couple more games this year, maybe wins a bowl, Tom Allen gets to carry into contract renegotiation, recruiting, again, staffing, if he loses any assistants, any of those different kinds of things. Now all of a sudden Tom Allen can tell a very different story about himself and his tenure and his program as well.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Zach, one more quick football question, and then I want to hit basketball real quick as well. And Zach is headed to Bloomington for Coach Allen's press conference right now. But football-wise, Saturday night, it's a night game. It's a winnable game for Indiana as well. They host Northwestern. Indiana, I saw just moments ago before we started talking, has came out with a two-package ticket that's very reasonably priced for some of the remaining games at home to try to fill the stands. With all the excitement in the air, and I mean, there's people talking about IU football and asking me questions or tweeting me about it or excited about hearing you talk IU football on today's show that maybe normally would say, gosh, I wish they'd get more into basketball at this time of year, but things are different this year. You attend a lot of IU football games home and away. I'm curious, do you think that this weekend could be a really, really good environment? Do you expect a big turnout? Do you expect maybe a special environment that isn't always the case at Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know quite what to expect. I'm going to be honest, and I'm not trying to make light of it. I've never been. I mean, I've covered Indiana football for the best part of the last 10 years. I've never covered anything like this. So, you know, I can't tell you. The one thing I will say in defense of Indiana, maybe not just as a program, but as a department, is I don't really think fans have a ton of excuse anymore. Like for years, when coaches have said we need our fans behind us, and, you know, Tom Allen issued another rallying cry Saturday, but we've heard Indiana coach after Indiana coach say we need our fans behind us. If we can get our fans behind us, it'll change games. It'll give us more confidence. It'll give us more energy. And I've been the one that's argued for years that, like, you know, fans change games. They just do. In big environments, fans change games. If you can create a hostile atmosphere for an opponent, it absolutely changes the game. And when you sort of said that, fans have said, well, you know, obviously the on-field product is just consistently disappointing. Why would we buy into that? And you don't have tiered ticket pricing, so we, you know, the single game tickets are too expensive. And you don't sell beer in the stands. And, you know, the in-game sort of environment in terms of promotions and stuff like that isn't what we'd like it to be. I guess my point is it feels like Indiana over the last few years, whether it meant to or not, it's also kind of built to a moment like this as a department. Like, it has addressed every one of those complaints. You know, like, you cannot say you're not going to come because they don't sell beer in the stands anymore. You can't say you're not going to come because you can't, you know, single game tickets are just ridiculously priced. And you can't say you're not going to come because the team's not any good, because if they win this weekend, they'll match obviously their highest win total since 1993. So I don't know if Indiana fans will show up or not. It's a night game, so you also won't have any trouble getting down from Indianapolis. There'll be plenty of time to get out and tailgate and do everything Indiana fans like to do. I don't know if it'll be, you know, huge. If you're asking me to put a number on it, I'd say I think Indiana could reasonably get 45,000-47,000 people in the stands in a stadium that seats about 52,000 to 53,000. But I certainly think, and I'm not anybody's marketing director or manager or anything like that, but I certainly think that at this point, Indiana fans are kind of out of excuses when it comes to why they're not going to attend an important football game, because Indiana has pretty much addressed each one of those at this point.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, my guest. Basketball, real quick. Indiana opens up Tuesday night. Division II Gannon University will be their exhibition opponent. What are you most interested to see with this Indiana team? I know we've talked a lot about players and roles and newcomers in the offseason. I know we talked some about the secret scrimmage based on the box score and other notes that we were able to learn from that game. But now that your first opportunity to actually view this team in a competitive setting and a game setting is up on us tomorrow night, what's kind of the number one, number two thing you're looking to see from this team?
I'd love to tell you, but, you know, I'm writing three things that I'm looking to see from this team for IndyStar.com. That's IndyStar, IndyStar.com/sports.
Love it.
Later today. No.
Love it.
The three things that I'm going to mention, number one is Jerome Hunter. And I've said many times, I think fans need to be very patient with his production. He's missed a lot of basketball. You know, he's probably, I know he's been able to return to conditioning and things, but I'm guessing he's also been limited and sort of nipped and tucked in some of those areas. I think the biggest thing for him right now is just how many minutes can he play? How many minutes consecutively? How many minutes overall? We saw him play all 8 minutes uninterrupted in the Hoosier Asteria scrimmage. We saw him, I guess, according to that box score, get about 14 minutes against Marquette. You know, does that number go up again? And if so, to how much and in what length of time and how does he play? You know, how does he perform when he does that? I'm just sort of curious to try and figure out what can Indiana expect from Jerome Hunter this year. The front court rotation, obviously this is just one look at it. This won't answer every single question every person would have about, you know, Indiana's front court, but I've said this many times and I'll continue to believe it until I'm proven wrong. I think that the front court is ultimately kind of the thing that separates Indiana or doesn't this year. Like, I think Indiana's front court and the way that Indiana defends with its size advantages and the way that Indiana handles basically trying to create mismatches with the sheer tonnage of big bodies it has in the post and in the front court. This is our first look at how Archie Miller wants to tinker with some of that. We saw Justin Smith, Joey Brunk, Trace Jackson Davis start in I guess we didn't see it, but we saw in the box score that they started against Marquette. Brunk and Jackson Davis both had some foul trouble. You saw a lot of Race Thompson, apparently. I think he played like 27, 28 minutes. Just how does Archie Miller want that to shape up, essentially? And then I think the other big question that I'm going to be asking is, do we see Robert Phinisee and Devontae Green? They didn't participate in the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage. They did not play against Marquette. You know, time and again, Indiana has said that was all precautionary and, you know, that the Hoosiers aren't worried about those guys, but that's your starting backcourt. You know, that's your starting point guard whose impact, if anybody needs any reminding, go back to last season and remember how much Indiana struggled when Rob Phinisee was hurt or when he maybe didn't seem quite right after his concussion. And then that's also the guy in Devontae Green you're probably going to be looking to for a majority of your perimeter scoring. So do we see those guys, and in what capacity? Is there any lingering problem? And if we don't see them genuinely, I think that's the point at which you're allowed to think, oh, this, how long is this going to last? Is this something we need to be worried about into the season? Because obviously, I'm sure Archie Miller is first in line on this, but I don't think Indiana fans need to hear the word injury again for a while. I think it would probably invoke some sort of, just trigger some really bad memories.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Lots of football stuff today, a little bit of basketball as well. Exciting times, nonetheless, for IU sports, football and basketball, as the basketball season getting ready to begin. Zach, thanks for the chat. We'll look for your coverage from the press conference as well with Coach Allen and IU football later today. I'm sure you've got some other content you mentioned on the way as well. We appreciate it, and talk with you again next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member, he joins the program. And I tell you what, Chad's team on Friday night, his football team at Charlestown, a big win over Brownstown, who was previously undefeated. We'll talk with Chad about that game and all the sectionals and, of course, a special environment Friday night at Charlestown for that victory. That's a signature win. You talk about signature wins, knocking off Brownstown in football. That absolutely is one. Chad Gilbert's next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. It's a quick segment once again this week with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director. And Chad, lots of excitement, obviously, with the IU basketball season starting tomorrow, and lots of big-time success here by this IU football program. So went long with Zach today. I want to start with this with you. What a night, Friday night in Charlestown. Take us through the festivities and a fun night to be the AD, football coach, and Coach Hawkins, or a player or even a fan in the stands at the Boneyard in Charlestown.
Well, you know, first of all, congratulations to IU because they've got it going right now. You know, that's a lot of excitement up there, and hopefully there's a big crowd this Saturday night for those guys. And, you know, that's what the show's about, the IU people. I enjoy our time with you, Matt, and I'm not keeping score, but my wife is, so we'll just go from there. But anyhow, you know, a great atmosphere at the Boneyard Friday, Matt. You know, a signature win for Coach Hawkins, you know, probably the best win in his career. He probably called the best game of his career. He had one bad call the whole night, and that was the fake punt that sealed the victory. You know, that's pretty big when you call a fake punt on the 20 and you're going against Reed May, who has many, many ways. You know, you think of Reed May, you think of the water boy, the guy over there. You know, when Fonzie was doing the guy had his notebook over page after page after page after page after play. And you know, you knew he was going to have a chance to score. And Coach Hawkins, you know, he rolled the dice and came out on top. And our reward is a long trip to Lawrenceburg against a very good Lawrenceburg team this Friday.
Chad Gilbert joining us, Charlestown AD, IHSAA Executive Board member. What a game, what a night. You predicted all this too, Chad. You went gutsy on this one. and told us last Monday, and then you came on in our kickoff show Friday night where we preview all the games, and you were very upfront that you just had a feeling you've seen this Charlestown team develop over the course of the season, and you weren't afraid to predict a win.
Well, you know, and I'll stand by that one because going in, again, I still believe that we're three wins away from being undefeated. You know, I feel like we let the Mid-Southern Conference get away, and we have a chance to redeem that this Friday and for another opportunity to play for a sectional championship. This Friday, no predictions. I have not seen Lawrenceburg play, but I have seen Charlestown play, and I've seen Brownstown play. And that's one thing. You know, I've been out coaching 7 years, but I can still recognize talent.
Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad, basketball season is here. That means at the college level, NBA stuff started last week. That can only mean one thing, high school basketball. Girls now underway, boys just around the corner.
Isn't it great on the NBA? You know, you go to sleep and you wake up and that West Coast Conference game is in the third quarter. The TV's still playing. The NBA is a great time of the year. You know, you can get a lot of different sets off those things, a lot of different plays, a lot of different things to put in your arsenal. So if you're ever in a situation like that, you're kind of like Reed May. You got play after play running through your head that you can run for a certain situation. But with girls basketball, we're a week in, and boys basketball is right around the corner. And Matt, it's an exciting time for Southern Indiana with the talent that we have a chance for some teams to make a nice run to Banker's Life.
Yeah, no question about it. The high school season will be here soon, and once it gets going, I mean, you got to think about some of the early season games. There's some rivalry games pretty quick into the season, and in fact, even in that opening weekend right after Thanksgiving, there are some big boys matchups as well. So once it gets here, it gets going pretty quick. Chad, more time next week. That's all I can promise you. Always enjoy the opportunity to catch up and get your viewpoint on things local here in the area. Congrats on the Pirates. We're going to have Coach Hawkins on later this week to learn a little bit more about his team and obviously their opponent. It's another tough one in Lawrenceburg this week, but they're on a roll, no question about it. Been fun to follow them. And thanks as well. You did double duty Friday night, AD running a big sectional game with a big crowd and also taking time out to do some updates periodically in our high school football coverage on Friday night. You're multi-talented, Chad Gilbert.
I have learned to multitask over the year, Matt. You know, that's one thing that it was a lot of fun. And you want to share that atmosphere, share that experience with as many people as possible, and I appreciate you giving me that opportunity.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert with us Mondays. He's Charlestown Athletic Director, also an IHSA Executive Board member. Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll go longer next week. Chad Gilbert with us. Thanks, Chad. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Back with you Tuesday, 11 o'clock. We have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.